Hi, I'm Aaron Sturgis, pastor here at Central Lutheran Church, and I welcome you to Central Lutheran's podcast. This podcast is called We Love to Tell the Story, and it's a podcast that's about our story and how we see God at work in each of our lives and how we experience God and the resurrection. So thanks and enjoy this podcast. Joining me today is Irene Hunt. Irene Hunt is a lifelong member here at Central Lutheran Church, and this is her story. One of the things that I really like about this Easter story is it comes from the Gospel of John, and it's the story of Mary Magdalene, who is the first to get to the tomb, and she gets there, and the body's gone. And the first thing she says is, where have they taken, you know, the body?
Right.
And then everything unfolds and the disciples go and they see and they look in. And what I find fascinating about this story is that the disciples see and they just kind of turn and they just go home. And then Mary Magdalene finally meets Jesus, even though at first she thinks he's the gardener, but she finally meets Jesus and then realizes that it's Jesus, and finally it dawns on her that the resurrection has occurred. Everything that Jesus said was going to happen happens. And she goes and she begins to tell her story, her experience of the resurrection. So this Easter, Irene, I wanted to invite people and interview people about their own story and what the resurrection means to them. So I want to hear, what does the resurrection mean to you?
The resurrection means to me, first of all, that Jesus loved me so much that he gave his life, and that giving his life for me has meant that whenever we lose a loved one or when I die, there is resurrection and hope for me.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I try to convey during funerals. Mm-hmm. You know, that we live mm-hmm. in that hope, that resurrection.
And if Jesus would not have died on that cross, this would not happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to hear your story. And what I like about your story is is I know you're an avid golfer. Both you and Carl golf. And you golf a lot. And one of the things you need to have when you golf is eyesight. You know,
yes.
You need both eyes. And why don't you tell us your story? And it starts with a simple, well, I shouldn't say simple, but a cataract, right? About
surgery.
About 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. I had gone in for surgery on my left eye in January, and surgery was performed. And then a month later, they scheduled to have the other eye done. About a week prior to going into surgery, I noticed the light in my eye, they had done the cataract, was becoming dim. And so when they prepared me for surgery, for my other cataract surgery, I told the anesthetist and the people, I said, you know, the light doesn't seem as bright in my left eye as it had when I first had the surgery done. And consequently, and this was a blessing, Dr. Holm had come in and he said, Irene, I came in to visit with you before you went to surgery. He said, and he looked around, he said, what's going on here? And I proceeded to tell him about my eye. Oh, he said, we are not going to do surgery today. You're going to stay and we'll have to do some tests to find out what's going on. And I said, fine. So anyway, and then just before he walked out of the room and they came to do tests, he looked at me and he said, you know, Irene, there's a possibility that you could have the disease that you'd be blind in 2 weeks.
Just the one eye or? Both eyes.
Yeah. And I have to be honest and say, fear came over me, and I even found it difficult to pray.
Yeah.
And anyway, it took about an hour, which seemed like eternity, before they came back with the results. And they said, you've had a stroke behind your eye. Oh, and wow. I thought, well, you know, that's really not so bad. It's better than being blind in both eyes. And so they put me on blood thinner before I left the hospital. And we went, Dr. Holm worked about 2 hours in his office with me and went home and prepared the meal, supper, evening meal as usual, and did my things. And anyway, then that evening went down to family room and sat in my favorite chair, and I sat down all at once. My eye went totally black, dark. It was gone. And I think this is where the Holy Spirit came in, because the story came to my mind. And I said, you know, Jesus, remember that lady, woman that hemorrhaged? This Bible story where the lady hemorrhaged for 12 years and had gone to all the doctors, could find no help. And she said, you know, if I could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I would be healed. And she walked, saw this crowd of people and saw Jesus there. And she said, oh, I'm just going to go and touch his garment, which she had done. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And she stood there for a while, and she said, it was I. He looked at her. He said, go. Your faith has made you well.
Right. Yep.
So, and why it came to me, and I said, Jesus, here I am. You know, if I only touch the hem of your garment, I know you will heal me. You will give me back my eyesight someday. I don't know when, but I know it will happen. And peace just flooded my soul. And Jesus was so close to me that from that day on, I have always had peace with my eyes.
Now, would you have been at peace if you didn't get your eyesight back? Or, I mean, you're just regardless at peace.
Regardless what happened, I knew that he would carry me through for my journey. Regardless what happened, that night, you can imagine if I didn't have the faith, I could have lost my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so then I said to Carl, I said, you know, I said, my eye has gone dark, but I said, Jesus has been here and he's taking care of me. I will be fine. And anyway, then that was on a Friday, and Sunday came. And Carl got up and fixed breakfast, and he hollered up. He said, aren't you going to church today? I actually covered my head and said, I can't do this. Then I laid there a while, and I thought, what's my options? Okay? My first option is, I can stay here in bed, and Satan and I can have a pity party together. Or I can get up and go to church and have my brothers and sisters in Christ pray for me. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, I took the second option.
Good.
So then I came to church, and I really did have so many friends that put their arms around me and encouraged me also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then on Monday, I had an appointment with a specialist in Eau Claire. And anyway, to check my eye out, what had happened. And what had happened is at the time I had the stroke, it damaged the optic nerve in the eye. And that lets the eye, the light into your eye. And that's what had happened.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the way it was. And so about 3 weeks later, one afternoon, my other eye went out of focus. And I thought, what has happened? So anyway, called the doctor and got to see the doctor. And he said, Irene, you've had another blood clot in the back of that eye. Although it, with the blood thinner, it hadn't damaged the optic nerve, which was a real blessing. And about 3 weeks later, the focus gradually came back into my eye, and I was able to see, you know, which was wonderful. And anyway, it took about 2 years for the blood clot to dissolve in my good eye. He said if he would have done any procedure, I would have gone blind. So after the blood clot dissolved, then, of course, he discovered I had swelling in back of the eye and was unable to do surgery until some of the swelling had gone down. And thanks to research, they finally came out with a steroid he was able to inject into my eye, and it took enough of the swelling down that I was able to have the cataract surgery. And when it was finished, oh, it was so light because the cataract had become so thick and so dense. It was the most wonderful bright light that came into my life. And it was a miracle. It was just a miracle. And anyway, but I always hung on to the promise that Jesus would give me back my sight. I never lost that. He gave me that promise that night, that peace flooded my soul.
Yeah, yeah. And so how's your golf game today?
You know, Pastor Aaron, if it was not for my wonderful husband and the ladies I golf with, I would not be out there golfing. I can see to tee off, I can see the distance, but I cannot see where my ball goes. And you know,
which is probably a good thing.
I was going to say, there's good and there's bad in everything. And the good part is that when I hit the ball, I don't have to lift my head and miss the ball.
Yeah, keep your head down.
I had to keep my head down.
There's always no sense. Yeah, there's no sense on peaking, right?
No, right. Which before I was able to do, and the results wasn't the greatest.
Nice. Well,
of us, because we were sinners and he was not, had no sin. And then to think that he rose from the tomb, and you said Mary Magdalene, you know, didn't recognize him at first until she turned around and said, Robam, or whatever, the rabbi.
Yep, Rabboni.
Yes. And I mean, how wonderful. Here he appeared and had come back to life.
Yeah.
And for who? For you and I.
Yeah. Irene, thanks so much. See, that wasn't too hard. You were worried about this, weren't you?
You know, I really was. And I have to confess, until Saturday, until yesterday, I was, and calmness came over me, and thanks to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And God is good all the time. God is good.
Yes. And blessings to you and your family this Holy Week, and especially this Easter season.
Easter is so beautiful because where there was sorrow, there is now joy.